Hey gang, are you a fan of podcasts and Law & Order SVU? Well, I have the show for you. The seminal SVU podcast, Munch My Benson, is the twisted love child of co-hosts Adam Schwitters and Josh Dugan, celebrating the splendid and often wildly inappropriate lunacy found only on Law & Order SVU. Each week, Adam and Josh walk you through a random episode of SVU, all while sharing their smart and hilarious insight. Find Munch My Benson wherever it is you stream your podcast, or go to munchmybenson.com for more info. That's Munch My Benson.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time. How did I get here? And now here is your host, I'm Howdy.
When we talked.
All right, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys all had a good weekend, whatever that might resemble under a pandemic when you're locked up at home, trying not to watch the news 24 hours a day to see if America's literally on fire. Oh, maybe you got out, and if you live in Austin, maybe you got out on Sunday and played in the snow a little bit. That was pretty nice. It's crazy. It snowed like for hours. It snowed for like 4 hours straight, like tons of snow. Unfortunately, it had been raining beforehand, so the ground was all wet here and none of the snow stuck. But it was neat to watch it fall, and it was neat to be out in the snow. It was weird. It's weird when it starts snowing in Austin. You don't know if that's like a good sign or a bad sign. Start looking for signs. I think what happens is after the last couple of weeks, at least I am, just a little shaken up. Also, I'm at my place alone all the time. So I'm constantly freaking myself out. And no one's saying like, hey, Johnny, don't turn on the news. Johnny, don't check your phone to see what happened. Don't check to see if they're coming after you now. Don't check to see if they're starting their new marches, their armed marches. It's been so intense, man. It's been a really intense time. And I hope that you're dealing with it well. And I know that for some of us, it's very difficult because some people have been now alone for you know, 10 months. You know, 10 months of just solid solitude. And I know it's driving some people crazy and it's upsetting some people and it's been difficult on some people. I spoke to a friend the other day for quite a while, for like 2.5 hours, and he lost his wife to suicide in November, and she was in a dark place, and she was fighting to stay sober, and this pandemic and this lockdown and this quarantine and the way things were going, she started having a really difficult time. And I know that there's a lot of people out there having a difficult time. And if you are having a difficult time and you don't have friends or loved ones that you feel like you can reach out to, don't forget, help is available and you can call the Suicide Prevention Hotline at 800-273-8255. That's 800-273-8255. Sorry to get all serious on you guys, but this is a difficult time, you know? I've been lonely during this time, but I'm doing okay. I'm not in any danger of any kind of thing, but I have been lonely and I have been feeling a little out of it and stressed out. There's a lot of stuff happening in our country right now, and it's kind of freaky, and you don't know how serious this stuff is, and how long lasting this insanity will go, and not only that, there's a pandemic going on. People have lost work. People have lost their jobs, they're losing income, losing their homes. It's getting very, very difficult out there. It's been this sustained time for, as I said, 10 months of this just fucking difficult way of life. But I'm here for you, and I'm still talking to musicians and trying to bring you some music you might not have heard and introduce you to some artists you might not know, or maybe get to know some artists that you know, get to know them just a little bit better. Today, I have a great show for you guys today. Micah Montenko is on the show today. His band Montenko released their debut EP back in October. You can find them at montenkomusic.com. It's a fantastic record, man. It's an art, like old school R&B, kind of like Dr. John Stax kind of record with great horns. They have a video out for their song Thief. It was directed by the great John Valley, who's been on the show. And Micah Matenko has been on the show before. He was on back in 2019, I believe, with his band Steel Betty, who's a bluegrass band. But this band, he fronts the band, and he plays keyboards, and he sings, and the songs are fantastic. And this song, Thief, features Nettie. Go check out their video. Go to MatenkoMusic.com. All right? Have a great conversation with Micah Matenko. We had it back in November. This was done in my barrage of shows before I left town for 3 weeks. I really overdid it. I did like 8 weeks worth of shows because I was going to be gone 3 weeks. So I was pretty nervous. I was excited. And I just wanted to make sure I got it all done, right? All right, look, I hope that you're doing all right. I hope you have a great rest of the week. And I hope that you check out this debut self-titled EP by Motenko. It's out now, available wherever it is you stream or download your jams, or go to MotenkoMusic.com to see videos and follow them on socials and stuff. And I hope you have a relaxing week. Breathe. Don't forget to breathe. Breathe deep. And enjoy my conversation with the extremely talented Micah Matenko from the band Matenko. Let's get down.
Kept inside by my window.
Yeah. Besides this, I thought I had it all set up and ready to go.
Oh yeah. How are you holding up through the pandemic, man?
You know, it's all right. Some days are better than others. I think what I'm mostly grappling with right now is not really feeling very creative, not really feeling the spark like I'm used to.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, I really have no complaints. Like, my days are relatively easy. I've been able to make ends meet, you know. I mean, unemployment's kind of running out, so. But yeah, you know, I have no complaints. Everything is good. It's just, like, there's this, like, you know, kind of gap where, like, with this sort of time and in another situation, I would have been probably more prolific. I don't know. Maybe not. But anyway.
Who knows, right? Because it does feel kind of, there's also, like, this weird pressure that people are putting on. Like, you're supposed to be doing the best work you've ever done right now because you're locked up. But nobody realizes it's really difficult to do when you're fucking anxious.
Yeah.
You know?
I know, yeah, and it's a hard thing to confront too. I haven't had to do that, and that's kind of what I see as the positive. Is like, I am really kind of like, I have so much time that I'm forced to confront that, which is like, you know, if a routine sets in and like, you know, I'm unable to really like be at my best out in the world, then like I still need to figure my shit out and kind of like move forward. Right. How do I do that?
Right.
That's been a cool challenge. You know, to put it positively, started meditating again a little bit. I'm hoping that's gonna do the trick after a while.
So I started meditating. Maybe that'll make it all go away.
That's definitely not the point, but you know.
No, right. I know what you mean. Here's a question. Okay, first of all, your fucking EP is great and this band is great. Like,
thank
great,
you,
man. I really loved watching. You know what's really funny is I watched that Buds thing and I wrote you. I watched your performance at Buds and I was like, wow, where is that place? And then I'm driving to my grocery store, driving up Cesar Chavez. Boom, there it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, it's pretty centrally located. It's prime real estate, you know? It's a cool part of town. It's right next to a restaurant that's pretty good too.
Well, it sounded fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
that means a lot.
Your band is really, really great.
They are awesome. Yes.
Yeah, you all are. Like, you're an amazing keyboard player, man. That's what we talked about that when Steel Betty was on last year.
Yeah. I think we did. Yeah.
I was asking you for lessons or something.
Yeah. Still on the table.
Thank you. What's going on with Steel Betty right now before we get into the Motenko stuff?
Sure. Yes. Steel Betty is playing a few little like yard parties, backyard, you know, private little backyard things, graduations. Sometimes they'll just be a group of like neighborhood block party type thing. Those have been great, but you know, they're kind of here and there. Otherwise, Steel Betty has not been doing all too much. We were lucky enough to sign with an agent that books like the theater circuit, like performing arts centers.
Oh yeah.
That was such a good gig, and the agency actually like decided it was going to be their last season this year, and then COVID hit like right after that.
Oh god.
So we have like, you know, our last run of shows, which were going to be like the most shows we've done in a period of time, and we were going to be jet setting all over the country and honing our set and everything. They all kind of like, half of them got canceled, half of them got postponed, and most of the ones that got postponed again. So that was like the introduction to March was going to be this like banger of a month. And then, you know, obviously we all know what happened. So, you know, but yeah, I mean, morale is high in Steel Betty. I think we're all kind of doing our own thing. David's been practicing a lot of banjo and playing a lot of music. And Maddie's in Leyline, and Leyline is doing very well.
Yeah, Leyline's putting out some new music. I've been getting some emails from that. I'm taking a month off.
Sweet.
And I'm going to Galveston to stay with my family in a beach house on the beach, which is great.
That's great.
I've been like tied down, but their publicist has been reaching out to me, and I've kind of like closed up shop till the new year. So
cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's good for you, man. That sounds like a great place to weather the storm, so to speak, the third wave here.
Yeah. Have you gotten a chance to do some get out of your house time?
Yeah, I actually just got back from a like 3.5 week long road trip with my brother.
Oh, fantastic, man. Where'd you guys go?
We went to Denver, then we drove west to Bend, Oregon, where the third Motenko brother lives, and we got to see our niece and him and his wife, and they're doing really well over there. They just moved to Bend, and it's a little paradise, kind of like mini Austin type vibe, sort of. Then we drove down to the Bay Area to see my uncle, and San Diego to see my buddy Raph, who is R.O. Shapiro, used to live in Austin and play gigs at Stagold and other places and stuff. And so it was really fun. It was some good sibling bonding time.
That's good, man. That's a good thing to have. You were doing a residency at Stagold before this went down, right?
I was, yeah. We all were. The four of us were on every Wednesday night for 3 hours, and it was such a good time. You know, such good memories, and we did it for almost 2 years.
Wow.
So it's funny. It's like, you know, I think in the back of my mind, I was kind of like, people talk about like the the curse of the residency, right? How like, you know, people will only come to, or people won't come because it's every week, is how it was explained to me. And I don't really think that was the case with us. People actually came every week to see us and to hang. And I mean, the vibe that I thought we had achieved at, you know, after a few weeks of it or months of it, was like, it really felt like a hang. And so that was really awesome. But in the back of my mind the whole time, I was kind of like, when is going to be the right time for us to stop? Cause like, I don't know. I just kind of figured we would have to do that if we wanted to start getting bigger shows. So, we probably would not have stopped if it weren't for COVID, but it's just interesting to think about that.
It is, isn't it? What are you guys, outside of that live stream, like, what are you able, cause you, when did you put out this record?
Like, we put out the record October? Just like, yeah, first week of October. So I was going to say 3 weeks, but it's actually like six. More like six. Yeah.
When did you record it?
We recorded it starting in, I don't even remember. Starting in, I want to say April of 2019.
Okay.
April of 2018, maybe. And the reason why I'm having so much trouble remembering is the way it went was like, we went in to do drums and bass at Bud's. And I had, and some keys, but it was basically like recording the rhythm section first, minus guitar. And that was all said and done within like a day. It was like, all right, cool. Like those all sound great. We redid maybe a tune or two with the rhythm section. And then I took my sweet time. I did all the editing myself. So like, you know, the editing, just not the mixing, but the editing. And that took me forever, 'cause I kind of learned as I went. Then, I tracked guitar in my living room, you know, a few months later with Kat. And that was like 2 days, edited that together. And then I did keys after the fact. So some of it was piecemeal. I did some of the vocals in my living room too. Some of the leads and all the background vocals were done in my living room. So,
wow.
Yeah, I really wanted to do that going in, and I did it, and it took me forever, and that's kind of why it took so long.
So did you you produced it?
Yeah. I mean, Sam, you know, I didn't credit Sam Patlove on the album as a co-producer. He is listed as an engineer and a mixer, but he definitely had a role in the production too, just by virtue of you know, the sonic quality that he was able to achieve just in tracking, is definitely probably that's more of the quote unquote production than, you know, a lot of the decisions I was making about like, you know, can you give me a half a dB more delay here? And it's like, you know, I'm in love with the sounds he got like right off the bat. So it was easy.
Yeah. He was able to you know, there's a lot, once again, like, you know, you play these traditional styles of music where there's these sort of like parameters that make that music what it is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what I get from this is like, there's a real, I'm actually surprised that it's the drums and bass and some keyboards that were, 'cause it has a very live recorded feel.
Awesome.
Yeah, it really does.
I mean, that's the whole idea. And I'm definitely, if there's one thing I'm obsessive about, it's like the groove. And so I'm glad it grooves like that, and I'm glad it's not too perfect sounding, you know, like I didn't want it to sound like too modern,
right?
You know, the whole goal is to strike the balance between, or, you know, they call it like the new vintage sound or whatever, like neo, whatever you want to call it, but yeah, Sam tracks to tape, and so you know, it's, I guess you could say it's authentically like neo vintage, just because we tracked to tape and then we put it all in Logic and I edited it on my laptop. So it was both. And then Sam put it back through tape to mix and master. Like he mixes in analog.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. Like he'll do a little bit of both. He'll use some plugins in Logic, but he puts everything through an analog desk and analog compressors and analog, you know, outboard gear. And then I'm pretty sure he goes back into the computer, and then he goes out to a mastering, to the master tape.
Wow.
And then probably back in to like bounce to MP3 and all that. So like, yeah, there's a lot of back and forth. He probably has good audio, or analog to digital converters to make all that happen.
Totally. Let me ask you this, I thought that it was great. The way you guys played together on that live thing was fantastic. Like, there's just such a connection between you guys. Sweet. It's the same dudes that played on the record or the guys that played live on that Buds thing?
Yeah. Yep. And the same dudes who did the Stay Gold residency. And there were a couple cameos on the EP. The electric bass is actually a friend of mine, Hans Bilger. And he played on the Stay Gold gig every so often. He actually lives in Germany now, and is like, he was at UT studying, you know, he's a genius, basically, is the short story.
Yeah.
So that was cool. But yeah, that's the crew, and that's the crew that's on the record. And yeah,
Well, I caught this vibe of like early 70s, like Leon Russell and like Dr. John. And like when the horns were coming in, I got a Stax vibe. Like, you know, there's some definitely like some connection to those kind of guys. Do you listen to those Leon Russell records and Dr. John records?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love them. I mean, I, you know, in terms of like people I worship, it's probably closer to like Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles.
Okay.
And Bill Withers was kind of like when I was basically like, you know, I already knew what I liked, but translating it to my instrument, like I wanted it to be something that was fun to play on keyboards. So when I was thinking about what I wanted the sound of the band to be like, I started just making a playlist, and a lot of Leon Russell, Dr. John, and like a lot of like Little Feet and Lee Dorsey was like, Lee Dorsey was like, if there's one person that sums up the sound that I was going for, it's Lee Dorsey.
Okay.
But there's a tiny little disconnect between the people I worship and the people that we probably end up sounding like, but the middle ground, the elevator pitch is like, yeah, we're like Bill Withers meets, I used to say Bill Withers meets D'Angelo, but I'm not sure how, I think that's only one song really. So I'm still working on that.
I wasn't getting that neo soul vibe as much as I was getting like, maybe the connection is, that Leon Russell and Dr. John spent a lot of time listening to, Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Bill Withers.
Yeah, probably so, yeah. I mean, Ray Charles, you know, Ray Charles is like 50s, right? In his heyday?
I guess so.
So I think Ray Charles might be the OG in this situation, because Stevie Wonder was born in 1950, so.
You played... You're mostly with the sound that you're using in the live show, even though you're using that Nord, you're still going with like a whirly kind of, that's like that's your axe of choice.
The whirly is my axe of choice, and I'm staring at one right now. I have a whirly in my room, and it's my pride and joy. And, I thought I was going to gig with it, but I really don't take it out of the house.
Isn't that
I quickly
funny?
Realized how it's a pain to maintain, and you know, I'm not quite the like hobbyist do-it-yourselfer that I would love to be.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, you know, if it just works, that's good. The Nord sounds great, and let's see, a little bit of piano, but yeah, whirly. I mean, I love the way that the whirly sounds, as opposed to Rhodes. It's just got a little bit more grit to it, a little bit more bite, and there's less sustain, which I find can be a little more intimate.
Yeah. I have a Rhodes 54, which is whirly sized Rhodes, but I do prefer the bite of the whirly to the softness of the Rhodes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I think I can go with the Ray Charles again. Like that's why I like the whirly so much, is just the sound he got off of that, and then it's reinforced by like Wurlitzer is just everywhere. Like when I got one, I started listening more intently, and it's just kind of adds a little something in all these classic recordings. You know, it's not like the most prominent sound in a lot of them, but it's there, and I can swear it's whirly as opposed to Rhodes. That's like the bulk of the pop recordings.
Yeah. You know, did you ever go see Ian McLaughlin when he was alive?
No.
Do you know who he is? Was?
No.
He's a keyboard player of the Faces. You know the Faces?
Yeah. Like Rod Stewart.
Yeah.
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 I only know them from Ooh La La La, that like whatever record that's on. I've listened to that record quite a bit, and that's it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and that's Ronnie Lane singing that song. Anyway, he used to do this residency at the Lucky Lounge here in Austin.
Oh man, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. And you could go see him whatever happy hour times. But he brought in his B3, but used the Nord for the whirly sound when he played live, which I thought was interesting. We had some
that
talks
is
about
interesting.
That.
You know, there's no substitute for the real thing in any of these cases, really, in my opinion.
No, there's not, except for the fact that the maintenance and all that shit is, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's why I bring the Nord.
I had my Rhodes break down. I had to take it to Switched On. They have to send it to a guy in Lafayette, Louisiana, that took 7.5 months to get my Rhodes back. Like, if that was my main axe and I was playing gigs with just that, I'd be fucked.
I know. You'd be fucked. And I've changed reeds on a whirly, and it's such a pain in the ass. It's like, you know, you're just dealing. It's like you might as well be, like, repairing a dollhouse. You know?
Right.
Like
Oh, dude, the video for The Thief is great. And John Valley, he's like my favorite guy.
Yeah, John's the man. I've been in town for like 4 years, and I met him pretty early on because the first people I knew here were the Whiskey Shivers dudes.
Yeah.
And John's done some awesome videos for the Whiskey Shivers.
Yes, he has.
And I reached out to him. I was a little sheepish about it at first. It took me a while, but I reached out to him. We'd already been friends, and I was like, hey, like, I'm ready. You know, do you want to do some videos? And I really didn't have a vision. And I was kind of like, I don't know, man, like, what do you think? And he was basically like, you know, you're just starting out. These are your first videos. I think we should just do them simple. And it should just be you guys in a room doing your thing. And that'll be the video. And we can use my buddy's house. And I just love how it came out. And I love how, like, I don't know. That's kind of the perfect statement to start out with. It's just like, yeah, like, this is, we're just a band and we have these songs. And if we can make that look cool, and all the better. But I'm really happy with how it turned out.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's so funny because you think of these videos that he made for, like, Baby When I Close My Eyes, the Sweet Spirit song. And then what was the fucking Sweet Spirit song where he was the guy? That's how I ended up meeting him. Was I had Sweet Spirit on the show, and I was like, man, your videos are great. They're like, oh, they're both done by the same guy. And I'm like, oh, man. You know, that guy's a genius. And then I was like, you know what's awesome is the freak in that one video with the ball gag and the fucking S&M shit. And they're like, oh, that's him. And I was like, give me his email address. I need to meet that guy now. And we became pals.
What'd you say?
We became pals after that. I like him
sweet.
A lot. Yeah.
Yeah. He's the man. I love John. I feel like I have a sixth sense of humor like he does, and
it was really
nice to meet someone with his Instagram's hilarious, and I'm just like, yeah, like, that's the 12-year-old that's inside of me.
Yeah,
you know, it's awesome.
Well, what I loved about it was that he has all of these mad, like, insane things, but your video is fucking beautifully shot. Like, it's beautiful,
dude.
It goes right with the song.
Thanks, man. I'm so glad. It was funny. Like, we showed up at the house, and I think we were all kind of like, "This is, we're shooting here." Oh, all right, like, cool. Because it was like, you know, it was just a house with, like, he took out some stuff, but it was like, it wasn't like he stripped the walls or, like, you know what I mean. It was like, yeah. So anyway, and it just feels honest to me. Like, so I think that's my favorite part about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something I thought was funny?
Yes.
You wrote me and said, you gave me a nice compliment about the podcast and stuff. I was looking at it today, and you wrote, I listened to the Brandon Temple interview, the whole thing. And I was like, wow, you did? I almost left during that thing. It was so long.
What'd you say?
I said, I almost left during that thing. It was so long.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I almost deleted that part because I was like, I hope he's not going to be offended that I said that.
Not at all. No, no, that was it. That was the person that gets through that. That's a triumph of the human spirit. I mean, look, it was an amazing conversation. He's a beautiful human being.
Yeah.
And I wonder, as a listener that wasn't engaged in that conversation like I was, just like how it must have felt very heavy, you know?
No, man. I mean, you know, I can't say I've listened to, I mean, I feel like the impression that I get, at least, is that the format of this podcast is long form, you know, like you just let people talk, and
that's,
I really appreciate that.
That's the longest it's ever been, though.
Yeah, yeah.
By far.
I but to me, it was, I mean, I'm already coming from a place of holding Brandon Temple in really high esteem.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I met him once. I don't think he really knows who I am, but you know, he's such a good drummer. I've seen him play in so many different situations, and I just respect the shit out of him. And I've also, like, you know, he made this post on Facebook last year or before that about how he's, like, you know, basically like Austin music royalty, and he's playing the same clubs as like people who are just starting out, and like, so anyway, there's a lot of precedent for me, and I was I had a really kind of serious series of serious talks with myself when George Floyd happened, and I was really in a space where I like wanted to just be schooled on some shit, and
yeah.
and that was exactly like, it was the perfect timing. I was like, oh man, here's someone who can actually speak to like the local situation. And so, yeah, listening to him talk about it, I ate it up, all almost 3 hours of it.
That's the longest podcast I ever did. Well, I commend you and thank you. And you know, that's interesting. When that did happen, that was the mode that I went into as well. I think a lot of people did. You know, we have the time to educate ourselves on something that we thought we were educated on, but didn't quite know the depth of what systemic racism actually is, because we don't have to deal with it. You know what I mean?
Totally. Totally. Yeah. And like, I feel like I'm probably, hopefully was, but probably still am, like a classic, like white liberal kind of like coming in with the pretense that I'm like for the revolution, and I know
all the
problems, and no, like, fuck that, you know, that's just my pretense, like, I don't know, you know, like, I mean, I would have never said I know what it's like or anything, but, you know, I guess, it was good to admit to myself that, like, I don't really know much more than, like, your average whatever, I don't know, so.
Average white man.
Yeah, average white man, average, Republican, even, I don't know, I mean, well, maybe not go that far, but but yeah.
Dude, do you listen to The Band?
Yeah,
I have that. I got that vibe from you too.
Yeah, you know, there's something I'm obsessed with, which is the 70s mid-tempo rock. It's like kind of slow, groovy rock, and there's just The Band,
like Cripple like Creek, has Cripple that. Creek. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
That has that groove, and there's a couple Who songs, and so like, I just love that. Yeah, The Band is as far as I'm concerned, Levon Helm's got that on lock.
Totally.
Yeah.
Who is this guy? James Gwynn. That's who plays drums with you.
Yes.
That guy's super badass, man.
James is super badass. James was the first person in the band that I met. I moved to town and almost immediately went on tour with the Whiskey Shivers selling merch. And he was their washboard player, and still is their washboard player, excuse me. And we got to talking, and like, we were in a guitar center one time, and we were like jamming a little bit and stuff, and got to talking about how we both liked funk and soul and stuff like that. And at one point it was like, man, we should start, wouldn't it be cool to start like a New Orleans groove, and also like, you know, like funky soul, funky band. Like, yeah. Those were the kind of the two things.
Yeah.
And the EP doesn't have any New Orleans groove stuff on it, but that's definitely coming. So it's so cool. I love playing with James. He's a master at like the rumba, like New Orleans rumba. And can also do like the James Gadson like 16th note-y funky stuff.
Yeah.
And as far as I'm concerned, that's as good as it could be for Motenko. So I love playing with him.
Yeah, it really is a fantastic band, man.
Thanks.
The songs feel like they're really personal. What's going on there? Are these what kind of songwriter?
They are. Yeah, they're all super. What was your last question?
What kind of songwriter are you? Are you like a, like, don't piss you off because there'll be a song coming soon kind of songwriter?
Yeah. Yeah, they're all the, but like, you know, I don't know if I'm quite prolific enough to like really write a song about everybody I know, but you know, or every little problem I have, but yeah, I mean, basically all those songs were about either one specific person or an amalgamation of like two or three specific things. And that's not all my songs, but that EP specifically was like that. And I sent it to my friend Jake Briggs in Cleveland. He's a fabulous musician as well. And he was like, the EP has like narrative continuity. Like it plays like a story.
Yeah.
And I had never thought of it like that before, but that's like another way you could see it. And I mean, they're all about relationships, basically, love and loss for sure. And you know, yeah, I mean, I guess some of them are kind of like screw you, yeah, like
yeah, petty, yeah, yeah. Kind of.
But some of them are like, you know, hey, this happened, and like the thief is very much like the amicable breakup song. It's like, you know, I was the person that I was, and I like I had faults and blah blah blah. I mean, you know, the lyrics in the thief, the lyrics say it better than I could at this point. I'm happy with the lyrics in that song more than anything else, I think. But anyway,
good.
Yeah, pretty personal shit for sure.
That's good, man. I got that vibe. Listening to it, it's all very organic. I mean, it seems like it came from a human. It was played by humans, recorded by other humans. You know what I mean? Like, there's a humanity and organic aspect to this record that's refreshing to somebody like me.
Sweet. Well, that's really nice to hear.
You're welcome.
I mean, it's yes.
Let me ask you this: who played the horns?
Yeah, the horns were played by Daniel Fears, who just put out an EP himself. It's sweet. It's an R&B thing, and it's really good. He plays trombone and many other wind instruments, I'm sure, but that's kind of his main axe. And so Daniel Fears played trombone. William Sterling Stephan played tenor sax, and Noe Mina played trumpet. Noe, I think, moved to Chicago like pretty shortly after he did that session, but yeah, it was kind of like I basically just reached out to friends to ask for good horn players, and I just like slapped together the section. But I'm pretty sure they've all played together before in at least once or twice, and that was so fun. I don't really think we're going to end up being a band that like tours with horns or really plays with horns live. But this EP was very much like, I was just like, this is what I want, and I'm going to just like make it happen. I don't really care about what it means necessarily. But yeah, I arranged those horn parts on my computer and like played them back with the software and honed them and edited them and stuff. I actually play alto sax, so it was really fun to do that.
You that did it. Man, you're like a musical genius.
Oh, stop it.
How old are you?
I'm 30, actually. I'm 30 now. I was my birthday a few days ago.
Oh, happy birthday. What'd you do? Nothing?
Thanks.
Zoom party?
Yeah, dude. Nothing. No, I'm just kidding. My girlfriend surprised me by inviting a few friends over to the yard. That was awesome. So we actually had a really nice little, you know, it was definitely still a COVID birthday, but it was, we made a feast that, you know, grilled some chicken and veggies, and we cooked for like a couple days, and friends came over and, you know, drank some beers, and by like 9 PM, everyone was like gone. And, you know, it's funny how like everybody's living the domestic life right now.
I'm glad it's not just me. Yeah. Oh no, dude. I wake up at like 5 in the morning, go to sleep at like 10. Oof. It's a scene. Yeah.
I'm not. You said it's a scene?
It's a scene, baby. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
It's pretty badass.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty sick.
It's the least rock and roll era of my life so far.
This, yeah,
the COVID era.
I know. I feel like I started playing music in Austin professionally for the first time when I was 26, and I still haven't like really rock and rolled out. So when I was young and stupid, I didn't totally get it out of my system. So I still feel a little bit of like, you know, pent up like tour like angst. You know, it's like,
when am I gonna
be able to be a dumbass again? Like,
yeah,
you know?
You've never ended up at Rain or Oil Can Harry's at 1:45 in the morning trying to find the guy to score some blow before it closes.
No.
Oh
no,
man, you're really missing out on some. I'm joking.
Yeah, I know.
But there was something I was going to say to you. Oh, hey, so this podcast is going to come out in a few weeks. Not now, but Micah, you're playing a show tonight on November 19th.
Yes, I am on November 19th at Far Out Lounge.
Far Out Lounge. That's a place I've gone to see a show. I went there 2 weeks ago to see DZ.
Sweet. Yeah. It took me forever to even entertain the idea of playing a show. And it's in retrospect, it's like, I don't know. I kind of just let COVID like shut my whole thing down, but Far Out's doing a really good job and it's all outdoors and, you know, it's like, it seems totally safe. So, I'm stoked and it is a duo show, which I am double stoked for because I love playing with James and it's really fun to just kind of have a stripped down thing. So we're opening for Honey Maid.
Yeah, they were just on the show. It hasn't come out yet.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Cool. That's good timing. Yeah, so anyway, that'll be great. I'm not really making a big deal about it being the first show back because it's not the full band, but it's totally my first show, you know, in any real sense in a long time. I mean, I've done some private stuff, but yeah, this is about it, so.
You've done private stuff, but like in person?
Well, no, I've actually done, you know, like those Steel Betty's like backyard gigs and stuff.
Oh, right. Sorry. Yeah.
Those are in person, but yeah, I mean, this is the first like real show, you know, that I've had since March. Yeah.
Yeah.
So can't wait.
I feel like those guys really have a good situation going on there. Look, outside of seeing a whole bunch of people somewhere, which by the way, I went to like Cosmic has like a nice kind of outside scene like they do at Far Out Lounge.
Okay, cool.
But there was a little bit of like seeing that many people at a place did freak me out, but it's incredibly safe. Like, I don't know if you've hung out there or anything, but like I got up, me and my friend Einar were standing and we lit cigarettes. So we obviously didn't have our masks. So you can't stand up without your mask on. Then you can't just stand there anyway. You got to either be in line or go to the bathroom. You got to be in your spot. So they do a really good job, and they're pretty vigilant about it.
Right. Yeah, that's what I appreciate. I mean, that's what I heard, and it's so easy to say, like, okay, you're not allowed to do this, but it's like, you know.
Hey, you know what? The thing is it does feel a little weird to be standing there trying to enjoy a show. Someone taps you on the shoulder like, hey, you can't just be standing here. And that is a little – it's different than what we're used to. But I would rather have that than, you know, another 250,000 people die from
– Dude, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, I mean, the whole thing is like, you know, we're not going to, like, do a good job with this without making some fucking sacrifices. You know what I mean? It's like – I feel like we're so used to just, like, having our cake and eating it too and –
I know.
But, you know, I mean, from a gig perspective, it's pretty funny to be like, okay, we're going to play this gig, but, like, the things that make it safe are exactly the things that usually are, like, the best things. Like I hope there's not a big crowd, you know, or, like, I hope people...
Yeah.
I hope people don't dance. You know, it's like all the things are, you know...
Everything like, you've been trying to get people to do for your whole life... Now is like, okay, don't get her to dance.
Right. So, like, you know, it's going to be fun. I can't wait. Far Out's doing just about as good of a job as anyone could, but like, there's not going to be shows that feel normal until the rest of the shit feels normal, and that's just, you know, that's just how it's going to be, I think.
It's going to be a while, baby. It's going to be a while.
I know.
Do you live with your girlfriend?
I do, as of late. I moved in to her house. She is a homeowner, so that's cool.
That is cool.
So yeah, I moved into her house. We got another roommate here, and I have my own little studio room with not one but two windows in it.
Good lord. You're bathed in sunlight.
Right now as we speak, I'm living the life. This is sweet. I have a keyboard under a window, and that's about all I could ask for, I think.
That's nice. So do I. My Rhodes is getting sun right now. What a magical day it is for our keyboards.
Yeah.
So are you guys planning on doing some more kind of like live stream gigs or... Because that show at Bud's, sorry to interrupt you, that show at Bud's, man, there was some production. A, it sounded fucking great. There was more than one camera. It was cool to see you guys perform, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Bud's is the ideal for us. And they're really doing a service over at Bud's. It's like really accessible for the artists. Just as much as the, you know, whoever decides to watch it. But yeah, I mean, it's all Sam on the sound and Andrew Trube on the video. And I mean, it's running through their entire studio, even though we were out on the patio, like all those cables were running into the control room and through all the gear. And so it sounds so good. I'm just like, so thrilled. And we actually did two buzz. We did an album release show. That was like the second one.
Oh, that's cool.
Not sure when you saw, but we're definitely going to do another live stream. I was toying with the idea of doing like a variety show holiday thing, but it's already mid-November,
yeah.
So we'll see what I can get together. But we'll do one in the winter, you know, whether it's before or after the holidays. We've been doing some pre-recorded stuff for like some private gigs, virtual private gigs, which are great. Over at Spencer's house, Spencer of PR Newman. So, what'd you say?
I don't know that guy.
He plays with Matthew Logan Vasquez.
Hmm.
And his own band is PR Newman. He actually played with the Black Pumas for like a while. Like he was their first keyboardist.
Oh, before Jerron?
Yeah, before Jerron Marshall. Shout out to Jerron Marshall.
Shout out to Jerron. Jerron's been awesome. On this show like three times, like since January.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, I met him pretty early on at Devil Street. He's so nice, man.
Yeah, he is nice. He's badass. You know who else I had on? I had you know Bobby Sparks?
Oh yeah, dude. I like totally bow down to Bobby Sparks.
Me too, bro.
he's amazing.
I got to stand right next to him on Labor Day. James Robinson had this show out in Smithville and invited me out to host it. And it was like him and Brandon and Bobby played together.
Yeah.
It was pretty badass.
Yeah, it was badass. We actually had a funny... So these private corporate gigs that I'm talking about are like the Black Threat Virtual Happy Hours.
Oh, you played
James,
that night?
I played that, yeah. We alongside them and Carolyn Wonderland,
yeah.
And Greg, the dude who puts them together, he told me the bill. He was like, "Hey, are you available tomorrow?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he told me the bill, and I was like, "Holy fuck!" Like now, all of a sudden, I'm on a bill with like you know, probably the three dudes in the local scene that I respect the most, like James Robinson, Bobby Sparks, and Brandon Temple, and Carolyn Wonderland. And then us.
Yeah.
That was like such a trip to play that with them. And, you know, it was a little like we didn't get the like backstage hang, obviously, because
no,
it
but
was virtual.
That's where I was during that. I mean, I was there. I was watching them play that live stream beforehand, before that show.
Oh, man,
that night.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
That's wild, man. Yeah. So what else do you have on your plate? Like, what are you planning for the rest of the year, say, for instance?
Yeah, well, aside from scheduling, you know, a quote-unquote big live stream, you know, like, I want to try to do, like, a ticketed thing. What I was going to say is Spencer's got a studio that is his whole house, and he has each individual room, like, rigged up. So, like, you know, our band is staying distance from each other. So we can each be in our own room, basically. And, like, so anyway, it's a sweet format. And he's got a similar situation to Buzz where he can get really good sound quality because he actually has a real studio. So we'll probably do a live stream with him this winter. And I want to try to do some sort of ticketed thing, or I don't know, we'll figure it out. But besides that, the plan is to just write songs and make demos, which is, it's funny. It's the thing I like to do the most, probably. Maybe with the exception of playing live. Mm-hmm. And it's the thing that I just find the hardest to, like, just sit down and do.
Yeah.
Like I said at the beginning of this, I've just been finding it difficult to do that in the last few months, but coming back from the road trip definitely is like a little boost. And so that's the first thing on my plate, is to just be like, all right, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna, you know, sit down with our toys and, like, do our favorite thing. So yeah, man, I got some demos that are done, I've got some demos that are half done, I've got some songs that are half done, and so I'm pretty stoked to just, like, get together a bunch of tracks and then, you know, logical next steps will follow. But basically the release cycle is back at the beginning now, because we just released the EP. We got some videos that came along with it that are out. One more live video is going to come out soon. But time to make more content, which is so fun. And, you know, so yeah.
Well, good, man.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, this record's great. People need to gather and check out Matenko, debut EP out now, self-titled, no name. They can find you at matenkomusic.com. Is anything else?
Yes, indeed.
Anything else?
Not really. Subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Yeah, subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Yeah, that's it, man.
There's links to all of that at your matenkomusic.com, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, totally.
It's a great website.
Oh, thanks. Man, that's nice to hear you say. I used Bandzoogle. You know that?
No, I don't.
It's like a band-oriented Squarespace.
Oh.
Thanks.
Maybe I should switch my business over to there.
This is probably not the most captivating thing for our listening audience, but
No, but there's some musicians out there that are listening that are like, "What?"
Yeah. It's cool. It's like it's kind of like a pretty dumbed down, you know, website creator that's geared just for bands. But I kind of like that because I just wanted to be quick. Like, you know,
yeah,
I want to just be able to, like, make a new page and forget about it. So
I don't want it to make anyone's lunch or breakfast. I just wanted to tell you when I'm playing, play you some tunes, show you a photo, tell you who I am.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, you know, having all this time to go back to the drawing board is definitely cool. It's like, I've been, like, taking some courses on some different things, and like Facebook ads. I like did a bunch of research on how to run Facebook ads, which is pretty sweet. A pretty sweet way to promote yourself. Like Spotify for Artists has these, like, they call them like collab sessions, but it's basically like, industry people talking about, like, what the current trends are and, like, what to do. And
right,
and those have been really cool. Like, the one thing that's really stuck with me was, like, this management person, I forget what her company is or whatever, but she was like, the most important thing is to just, like, know exactly who you are and figure out, like, what your identity is, you know, and, like, musically and kind of visually, and then, like, kind of branch out from that step by step. So, like, you know, be really solid on like what you stand for and what you sound like and what you look like and what you're going for. And then like, you know, the visuals are going to follow that. And then the branding, it follows the visuals, and like everything kind of branches out of that. And that was cool. That's like, you know, something I'm been in my head about these next few months when I'm going to probably be going back to the drawing board. And another cool thing I heard was it's an interview format. So like the interviewer was like, what do you say to artists who are what are some other things artists can do to like capture fan engagement? And the manager lady was like, make good music.
Yeah. That's what, yeah. I work with Austin Music Foundation, and that's our thing. Like, so like, what can I do to get more people? Yeah. Fucking be great. I'm not getting enough people at my shows. Fucking watch a video of your show and ask yourself if you would fucking go to it. I mean, really, you know, that's, people just don't do that. There's like this coddle, like, oh, I do this, so therefore I must be as good as everybody else.
I know. Exactly. And it's just so refreshing to hear that, because I'm like trying to get all my ducks in a row and like play the manager, you know, and play the whatever, do all the things. And it's like, I haven't really practiced much in the last, you know, month or two. And it's like, oh yeah, maybe I should just like practice. Like, yeah, you know, that could be enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, man, it's been great talking to you, and I can't wait to hear what else you do. This EP is great. People, get out there and check it out. It's on all the streaming services. Also, again, you can find them at matenkomusic.com. Micah Matenko, great talking to you, buddy.
You too, Johnny. Thanks for having me, man. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Talk soon.
All right, my man.
All right.
Take care.
Sleep so sound. You too. Oh, but you can't wake up.
Taking you back to a time when soul music was done by a live band playing in a room, checking each other out, recorded a tape with horns, soulful vocals, cool chords, a lot of Wurlitzer. Micah Matenko, what a great conversation. The band Matenko, their debut EP is out now. Get it. Go find it wherever it is you stream and download your jams. Check out the video for The Thief, directed by my pal John Valley. Haven't seen him in a long time. Go to Matenko Music for all of your Matenko needs. All right? I want to thank Micah for taking the time to sitting down and talk to me. And don't forget, gang, when you're out there checking out this debut EP by Matenko and all the streaming services, you can find this podcast wherever it is that you stream podcasts, be it Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Overcast, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere, new shows all the time. Check it out. Great conversations with great artists. Let's listen to this great song, On Your Level, by Matenko, from their debut EP, out now. Have a great day, whatever it is you're doing, gang. Let's get down.
Till I lose my control. We'll be right back.